Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, President of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York Regional Director.
Shalom, dear friends. This is Mitch Glazer, President of Chosen People Ministries, and I'm so glad to be with you today to share something from God's Word so that we can get a better understanding of the role and place of Jewish people and Israel today and tomorrow. And with me today, as usual, is Bobby Walter, the Regional Director of the New York Work of Chosen People Ministries. And so, hi, Bobby.
Hey, Mitch. Shalom. It's good to be in person with you.
Yeah.
And and shalom to all of our listeners and our watchers, our viewers. We're as always, just so grateful that you're tuning in to join us today. And Mitch, like you said, we've got, I think, a really exciting topic.
We do. And we're going to take the next few weeks and talk about God's covenants and plans with Israel and the Jewish people, because understanding the Jewish people is impossible without a bedrock of Scripture. And that bedrock of Scripture is really in the form of God's covenants with the Jewish people, His agreements with the Jewish people. Covenants are much more important in the ancient Near East than today, especially in America. We do contracts and things like that, and we think that some of them are breakable even when they're not, but there are always repercussions of breaking contracts. So the covenants were extremely important and form the basis for many relationships between kings and their people and between nations and other nations. And so contracts were important. And these contracts involve behavior, involve resources, and involve land. And the one we're going to look at today involves really all of these, and that is God's covenant with Abraham, what we usually call the Abrahamic covenant. And it is stated in a number of chapters, it's stated given to Abraham, and it's also stated and given to Isaac, and also to Jacob. And if we have time, we're going to try and look at the three patriarchs and see how the covenant was given to them and what the stipulations of the covenant might be. So here we go. Quite the adventure. You ready? Take out your Bible and turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1. We've just had 11 dramatic chapters. We've had creation. We've had a flood. We've had restoration. And then we have the Abrahamic covenant, which is the beginning of God's relationship with Abraham and with the Jewish people. Now, why Abraham? Good question. There's no answer in Scripture as to why God chose Abraham, but He did. Now, we have some biblical information that's important to notice. There were a number of sons that Noah had, and Shem was the son of Noah, to whom the promise of redemption that was given back in Genesis 3:15 would continue. Genesis 3:15 was God's first promise of a coming Redeemer.
Right. The seed of the woman.
The seed of the woman.
Right.
The seed of the woman would go through a particular family line, and that was the family line of Shem. And so let me just read a little bit from Genesis 11:10. These are the records of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Parkshad 2 years after the flood, and Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Parkshad, and he had other sons and daughters. Well, I've got to tell you, that was that's not exactly what we have today. And so we're post-flood, but we're probably at a time when people just live longer. Maybe they were geological, geographic, or some people say the rays of the sun weren't so strong. I mean, who knows? People lived a lot longer, not as long as Methuselah, but they lived a lot longer.
Yeah.
And so
it gradually tapered off. like lifespans became shorter and shorter by the time we get to Abraham.
It became more normal, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm going to verse 27 in chapter 11. Now, these are the records of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. Everybody needs a cousin like Lot. In verse 28, and Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Avram, or Abram, and Nahor took wives for themselves. The wife of Abram was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarah was barren, and she had no children. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldees in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. And the days of Terah were 255 years, and Terah died in Haran. So we don't know exactly why God chose Abram, but what we do know is that Abram was from the right line of promise. And so Shem was not condemned by his father Noah for seeing the nakedness of Noah after he got drunk and was acting inappropriately after the flood. So God decided to bless Shem, and it was through Shem this line of redemption would come. And Nahor and Terah and Avram are from the line of Shem. And so the focus is now on a descendant of Shem, and his name is Avram. So, Bobby, let's jump in at chapter 12, verse 1. You want to read the first three verses?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. All right. So this is Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed.
So we see that Abram was chosen to be a blessing, not just to his own family, but to all the families of the earth. And so God's love for the world did not narrow only to the Jewish people, but actually it narrowed to a person, and it would be through that person that all the nations of the world would be blessed. And we know that the greatest blessing, of course, would come through that greater son of Abraham, Jesus the Messiah. But we're at the beginning of the story, so let's progress through. Now, there are a number of important elements to this covenant with Abram. Number one, it was God's initiative. And so we call this an unconditional covenant, because all of the stipulations, the blessings of the covenant, rely upon the character and purposes of God, not on the obedience of Abraham or Abram at that time. And so if you look carefully, God said, go from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, and go to the land which I will show you. And so from the very beginning, we understand that not only is God creating a people, but he's giving the people a land. Hence, the Holy Land, holy because that land specifically was chosen by God to give to Abraham and his descendants.
Yeah. And there's another important verse that I think we have to read also here in verse 7. So Genesis 12, verse 7, it says, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land.
Right.
So he makes it abundantly clear that the land is part of the ongoing inheritance of Abram's descendants.
And it's an unconditional commitment.
And it's unconditional. It's from God. It's a gift.
It's from God. It's a gift. And so there's only one signer on the deed. That's God himself.
Yeah.
And so there's no stipulation. You get the land if you're good. You get the land if you obey my law. You get the land if you treat your neighbor well. None of that is actually true. God is giving the Jewish people a land. It's not that he doesn't want them, the Jewish people, to treat their neighbor well or to love him and to follow his ways. But that is not a precursor to their having the land as a gift from God. A gift, dear friends, is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
We never deserve a gift. Jesus is a gift. His salvation is a gift. Can't earn it. Can't steal it. You can't find a way to somehow negotiate it.
Mm-hmm.
It's given as a gift. The land was given as a gift to Abram. And then he becomes a great nation. That's part of the promise. I'll make you a great nation, and then I'll bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not that I want to get hung up on numbers, but that's seven blessings, okay? Seven promises. The Abrahamic covenant is a sevenfold promise by God to bring blessings to Abraham and through Abraham to the entire world.
Now, why is that important? Why is the number seven such a, why does it stand out so much?
Well, that's a hard question. Why don't you answer that, Bobby?
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those numbers that we see throughout scripture. And it's my understanding it points to the completion of things. Like this is a complete package that God is promising to Abraham.
I agree. That's a good explanation. And it's true. Number three, number seven are very important numbers. Even the number 40 sometimes and the number 70 sometimes. So God has favorite numbers.
Yeah.
Now, in verse 2, again, the promise is to make a great nation. Then God blesses Abraham and it says, I'll make your name great. So if you're out there listening today or watching today and your name is Abraham, well, you can see where you got your name from. Abram, the ham on kosher as it is, that's a very bad joke.
Fair point.
That comes a little bit later.
Yeah.
Now, what's the role of the nations in the Abrahamic covenant? That's a really critical question. Did God forget about the nations? Again, he narrowed his promise, but expanded his blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 3, we see it. I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. We're going to get to that in a moment. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised to bless the Jewish people, and through the Jewish people, he would bless the nations of the world. And this is a major theme throughout the entirety of Scripture. God never chose the Jews and forgot the rest of the world. He chose the Jews to be his conduit or his bridge of blessing to the rest of the world. And so the nations do have an important role in the plan of God. In some ways, verse 3 reminds me of John 3:16, really.
Mm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God never forgot about the nations of the world. It was through the Jewish people. The Jewish people were chosen, not for their own sake, but for the sake of the world. However, the nations, the Gentiles, have a holy obligation to the Jewish people. And Bobby, since you're not Jewish, why don't you go ahead and read verse 3 so that you can renew your commitment?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to. So it says, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And honestly, I mean, this sounds like a standard that God is setting up for the entire world, for the nations in this world, a standard of judgment that the nations will be held accountable to based on how they treat the Jewish people, how they treat the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And on top of that, there is this promise of blessing that God lays out here, that despite the blessing and the cursing, that he will bring about blessings for all the families of the earth through Abraham's seed.
I think this is at the very heart of God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could be more important. And so Bobby is going to buy me a cup of coffee later, and that will be his blessing to me, and then he will get blessed. But one of the things that you can do is you can prayerfully consider blessing the Jewish people by praying for the Jewish people, by sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, by caring for the Jewish people, by taking a part in preserving the Jewish people, by standing against anti-Semitism, by standing for Israel, by encouraging your elected officials to stand with Israel. Let's do everything we can, dear brothers and sisters, to follow this mandate of Scripture, to bless the Jewish people so that ultimately the Jewish people bring blessings to the entire world.
So welcome back. You're listening to The Chosen People. And right now we're actually going to take a few minutes to share a very powerful and moving testimony of Mitch, one of my favorite people, Israel Cohen, servant of the Most High. That's how he picks up his phone.
Israel Cohen is a wonderful brother. He is supposed to retire, but never does. He's got the most powerful testimony, and it is hysterical. So enjoy it and get the URL and share it with a Jewish friend.
I mean, I heard about some of these guys like John the Baptist. He's a Baptist. I found out later on he's Jewish. St. Paul, Jewish? Yeah, Jewish. St. Peter, how can anybody by the name of St. Peter be Jewish? Guess what? I found out they're all Jewish. You know, I grew up in Philadelphia in a Jewish neighborhood. On the other side of the street, that was mostly Gentiles. These poor Gentiles, they would worship a statue. Some of those people had statues in their lawns. At the age of 8 years old, I joined the Cub Scouts, which is part of the Boy Scouts. They had they still probably have this today, a magazine. It's called Boy's Life Magazine. And in that magazine, they had the instructions on how to build a crystal radio. I was so excited. It was like I was in heaven with this radio that worked. I would rush home from school and put on the earphones, and I was hearing these people talking about Jesus on the short wave. They were like, in the name of Jesus. At the same time, I was preparing for my bar mitzvah, and my rabbi told me, never believe in Jesus and never read the New Testament. That's a Gentile book, and Jesus is for the Gentiles. I joined the Navy in 1960 and wound up in a drill hall with 400 guys. Now, this is the first time in my life I was ever away from my mother and father. They taught me how to smoke a cigarette. I was coughing like crazy. They said, real sailors drink whiskey. And that was burning my throat. I did it because I wanted to be a real sailor. I wound up getting drunk every night. Wound up going out with women that I shouldn't be doing. Sometimes deep down inside of me, I was saying, man, this doesn't feel right. Something's wrong here. This doesn't seem right. You see, when you join the Navy, I don't know if they do this today anymore, but this was back in 1960. We were naked and had our hair shaved, and then we went through the line to get our uniforms and stuff. And at the end of the line, they said Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish. So they gave you a Bible. I had my Tanakh. I had my Jewish scriptures. And I don't know what you do with the Bible. I thought, it might be like a rabbit's foot, good luck charm, or maybe it'd be like my grandmother's chicken soup. Anytime I was sick, my grandmother said, have some matzo ball soup, have some chicken soup. I said, will it help? She said, it couldn't hide, you know? I said, well, I have a Bible. Will it help? Well, couldn't hide, you know? One of the sailors that I was with in the Navy said to me, you're Jewish, right? I said, yeah. Do you have a Bible? I said, sure, I have a Bible. They gave it to me when I joined the Navy. He said, let me see your Bible. And he turned in my Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. He said, here, read this. I read the whole chapter of Isaiah 53. I said, wait a minute. This sounds like those folks across the street. This sounds like the Gentiles. This sounds like what I was hearing on the short wave. They made a mistake. They gave me a New Testament. And my rabbi told me, never read the New Testament. You better take this because this is for you. This is not my Bible. I said, no, no. Look, Hebrew Publishing Company. Hebrew Publishing Company. This is crazy. What's Jesus doing in my Bible? He said, well, he's your Messiah. He's my Messiah. I was shocked. And he said, would you like to read about that in the New Testament? I said, I can't read the New Testament because my rabbi told me never read the New Testament. And he looked around over here, and he looked over here, and he says, I'll make a deal with you. If you don't tell your rabbi that you read the New Testament, I won't tell him either. I thought about that for a minute. Okay, but I was scared. I thought lightning was going to strike me. I actually thought I was going to be struck by lightning. I expected it to be a Gentile book. I expected it to take place in Rome with a bunch of popes talking about Catholic things and statues. What surprised me is how Jewish the New Testament really is. It's the most Jewish book I ever read. The more I read the scriptures, the more I was praying, I realized that inside I was not clean. Inside, I had all kinds of anger. I was getting drunk every night. I was going with the women. I was smoking three packs of unfiltered Pall Mall a day, coughing like crazy. I was making pretend like I enjoyed it. I didn't want to make pretend anymore. I didn't want to live that way anymore. Now, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the barracks, big barracks. And I had a blanket all the way over, and the light was shining on the New Testament. And I prayed, you know, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Lord, Jesus, I'm here. I want to believe in you. And I went to bed. May 16th, 1961, came to faith in the Messiah. That's just so important in my life. It's a moment that totally, completely changed and revolutionized my life. Even if I was the very last person on earth, Jesus would still have died for me. And I am confident that when I die, I'll go to be with him.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. And once again, we are so grateful that you joined us today. And we just want to let you know that if you're interested in finding out more about this program or about Chosen People Ministries in general, then visit us. Visit our website, chosenpeople.com/radio. And while you're there, be sure to request your free gift, which right now we're offering God's Plan and Purposes for the Jewish People.
It's a wonderful booklet, and I think you'll learn a lot about God's plan and purposes for the Jewish people by reading that booklet. And it's actually a good little booklet to share with a Jewish friend. So let's stay missional, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we take what we learn and share it with Jewish and Gentile friends who don't know the Lord. Chosen People Ministries has been doing this for 131 years. We were founded by Rabbi Leopold Cohn, a Jewish rabbi from Hungary who came to the Lower East Side of Manhattan in 1892 and heard the gospel through a Polish Presbyterian missionary to the Jewish people preaching at a Dutch Reformed church. Happens all the time, doesn't it? And he heard the gospel, read the New Testament in Yiddish, the language Jewish, Eastern European Jewish people spoke, and he came to know Jesus as his Savior. And then he turned over the ministry to his son later on. And then years and years later, I'm the 7th leader of Chosen People Ministries. We're now in 21 countries and a dozen plus cities around the United States and North America. We share the gospel. We minister on campus. We do street ministry. We go to places, the hard places like Brooklyn where I live, and share the gospel. We plant congregations, we do one-on-one evangelism, and we do a lot online as well. You can find out a whole lot more about Chosen People Ministries and how you can pray for us and how you can support us, because we need your friendship and we need your generosity. So go to chosenpeople.com and everything will be there. But if you want that booklet, you need to go to chosenpeople.com/radio.
And we'd also love to hear from you. So like Mitch said, visit us, chosenpeople.com/radio. You can also send us an email at radio@chosenpeople.com. And then on top of that, if you wanted to call in and leave us a voicemail with a question or a comment, a complaint or gripe or a compliment, whatever you want to do, call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. It'll send you to a voicemail where you can leave your message. We'll listen to it, and God willing, we'll be able to engage with it on this program.
So thanks so much for being with us today. I felt like the time flew by, and we have so much more to talk about when it comes to God's covenants. So tune in next week, and we'll do a whole lot more.
Ya'er ponav elecha v'chuneka Yisa Adonai ponav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom v'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince.
of peace.